Ooh, I'll tell you what. You are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast. I'll tell you what. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage. And you are listening to my man Rob. Don't you go away. Turn to the spice.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special WWE WrestleMania Backlash Predictions Panel episode of the BCP. Right now joined by not the All Elite Stellar Panel, but our all-time all-star panel. Please welcome back to the show. You know her from Kimmy Talks Wrestling. You know her as the booker of this show, which we'll get into a little bit. You know her from RDP Promotions. She's the goodest sister. Please welcome back to the show, Miss Kimmy. So cool. Kimmy, what up? Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think we should now call this Kimmy Takeover because I technically did all of this. So this is Kimmy and Rob's podcast. Welcome. I hope you all enjoy.
I love it. But Kimmy did book this. Yes. Kimmy's been killing it on the scene. What, you're interviewing so many big names. You're working with so many big names. She was name dropping on me like all week. And I was like, Kimmy, you and the name drops. I've never been more proud of you. And it's amazing. So keep those name drops coming. Keep killing it. And we talk about the connection here, and it's going to be a love fest already, but we're talking about the Kimmy Jimmy connection. Of course, please welcome back to the show. You know him as the head honcho over at the commentation station at Pro Wrestling Magic, our good friend and from the Rogue podcast, of course, Mr. Jimmy Riott. Jimmy, welcome, man. We're not worthy.
Hey, hello. Hello. Good to see Kimmy is modest as always. She's the modesty is pouring. I'm going to get you a nice big broom to sweep up all those names you're going to be dropping. Pleasure.
Love
pleasure
it.
To be here. Pleasure to meet some new faces and do all the predictions.
Love it, man. Thanks for coming on. And shameless promo. I did get to work with Jimmy past Saturday, Pro Wrestling Magic taping.
You mean
the shameless promo?
You mean you got to kill it with yours truly.
Not even
over
being like
on
that.
The commentation station, making your commentation station debut. The big guy right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop.
He's amazing.
This guy. But no, it really was an honor, man. There's a lot of moving parts, especially when you're doing two shows at the same time, working with you and names like Sam Laterna that are synonymous with independent wrestling. It was an honor. You did such a good job steering that ship and being the point guard, man. It really was a learning experience and an honor, man. So thank you so much. And get that shameless promo out there. Was it on the 29th? Is it?
May 29th. Pro Wrestling Magic will be making its IWTV debut. We've already filmed our next two shows. I had to call 14 matches that night. I'm surprised I'm able to speak now. But of course, the man himself was there with me for a few of the matches that night. And we're going to be premiering on IWTV. So if you already got the subscription, go hit us up. Watch us May 29th for that 90s party. It's a big celebration of our brand new Pro Wrestling Magic champion, Miss Erica Lee.
Yes, big fan of Erica. We knew she was going to do big things, and she's killing it right now. Excited to see what Pro Wrestling Magic has going forward. So everyone check that out on IWTV. But to round out the panel, someone making her debut today on the BCP, you also know her from Kimmy Talks Wrestling. Please welcome to the show, wrestling aficionado, Miss Sky. Sky, welcome. Round of applause. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you for having me on. I'm so glad I get to meet you guys. I already know Kimmy, but you know. my wrestling love. Yes, of course.
This is the real deal. But Sky, thanks for coming on. Kimmy obviously booked a stellar panel. So without further ado, Kimmy, let's talk WWE WrestleMania Backlash predictions. It's all yours. Here's the keys. Boy. I'm handing you the proverbial keys. There you go.
Thank you so much. So of course, first of all, what is this name? Okay, let's start there. So after WrestleMania, right, we're supposed to, fresh start. And now we took a beautiful named pay-per-view and put WrestleMania in front of it. We're going backwards and we're having a bunch of rematches. Woo!
Okay.
But before we get there, we have to talk about one key match on Friday Night SmackDown for those Women's Tag Team Championships. It will be Natty and Tamina versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And Sky, I know that me and you very much argue over the, I guess, importance of these women tag team championships. So who are you going with in this match?
I wouldn't be surprised if they make Natalya and Tamina win it on not a pay-per-view. And I feel like it's heading that way, or they're gonna have Shayna and Nia keep it to keep on this long dragging storyline of them eventually breaking up. So,
I mean, it looks like there's some creepy girl on Monday nights who has her eyes on Shayna Baszler with a doll named Lily. Rob, what do you think?
Well, you said it. I think Alexa and Lily will be your new WWE Women's Tag. No, I'm just kidding. I think, I mean, you know what? I was joking, and then I suddenly wasn't joking as I said it out loud. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, concerning Friday Night SmackDown, I got to say, Natalya and Tamina should win this. I predicted they were going to win earlier. I think Natalya, I love seeing her get just gold around the waist. And for Tamina not having any gold around the waist at any point, I think that she will be getting, I don't want to say her due, and I don't mean any disrespect by that. I think she'll be getting the gold around her waist. But moving forward, we can see that split for Shayna and Nia. We want to see Shayna do really big things, maybe feud with Bliss, whatever it is. Shayna was a monster on NXT, big Shayna Baszler fan. She hasn't been that as much on Raw as we've been saying over and over and over again. I'd like to see Shayna single again, as a singles competitor, I should say. And I think Tamina and Natalya get the belts. And moving forward, maybe we see Tamina join up with another faction once they lose those belts, when they ultimately break up the tag team like they always do.
Oh, of course. And we might be talking about that faction a little bit later, because I have a bold prediction for that SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. But Jimmy, the last time you and you were on a panel, I believe we predicted and planned out the pay-per-view better than WWE did.
I believe we did, yeah.
Yeah, so let's see if we could... And the commercials. So let's see if we could do this again. What are your thoughts on the Tag Team Championship match this Friday?
Well, okay, so first and foremost, Lily and Alexa will be making their presence known, causing untold damage. Cramping the leg from a distance will be Lily and Alexa. As we know, the Submission Magician herself has overcome unbelievable odds in the past. And I think that with the way WWE has been doing things, especially with creating an entire pay-per-view, which, by the way, let's talk about the name for just 2 seconds. I said this to you, Rob, at the tapings. They really had to make up for the horror show at Extreme Rules. So they decided that as a society, we needed not only Backlash, but WrestleMania Backlash. That whole compound word thing going on. Are we going to get WrestleMania money in the bank so that they keep getting these subscriptions up? Who knows? I can't wait to see it. WrestleMania all year round. It's like pizza bagels, ladies and gentlemen. If you need it, you can have it whenever you want. Anywhoozle, I'm going to say that we're going to end up in another triple threat situation. I believe there's going to be some skullduggery, some shenanigans, if you will. And on Friday, we're not going to get exactly the answer that we're looking for. So at the pay-per-view, we're going to go triple threat, pop them all in there, because let's be real, guys, the women's tag titles don't mean dick.
Yeah. I agree. Well, I mean, they just had to make them an NXT too, just to...
Why do that? Why do that? Why do the thing?
I love how Hunter's like, oh, NXT doesn't need a million titles. Okay. But I'm going to have to agree with Jimmy. I believe this is somehow going to end in a DQ, whether Alexa makes her presence known or Reginald gets involved, because Reginald just loves interfering for no reason.
Let's remind the audience, ladies and gentlemen, hashtag Reginald for Cruiserweight Champion. Let it happen. Make your voices heard.
I mean, he's been really impressive in the women's division the past 2 matches he's had. But I think this is going to end up being the WrestleMania Backlash pre-show match to then give Tamina her due, which I thought she was going to get at WrestleMania, but WWE just wanted to screw me over.
They want to screw everyone over.
I mean, yeah, especially you. You were like, oh my God, I'm going to cry if Tamina wins.
I was going to be so excited for her. It's been like over 10 years, finally get it. No, they just want to play with people's emotions and not do what we want to happen.
See, I agree with you. I fully agree with you. If Tamina had won at WrestleMania, I would have cried too, but out of sheer sadness. That listen, she's got the staying power. She just doesn't have anything else. That's all I'm saying. So, Natty, I love you, but same deal. Samesies.
My heart, what? My powerhouse. No.
Well, Skylar, if it makes you feel better, I believe that she might be joining the people that she joined when she debuted.
Dude, I would be so excited.
That would be amazing.
But we'll get there when we get there, because I think one of the main things coming out of WrestleMania Night 1 was, of course, that stellar women's main event. And, you know, we start every BCP show with the woman. See, Rob, I do take notes. So we are starting with, obviously, the better women's match on WrestleMania Backlash, which is Bianca Belair versus Bayley. I was on this show predicting that Bianca Belair's first feud at WrestleMania will be Bayley. Debbie, thank you for taking my notes. I love you too. Okay. But I think it's going to be a really good match. I'm upset that kind of the build hasn't been as strong as it has been like in January when they first started feuding. But I think Bianca's going to go over so well here. Such a strong match to put her over in her first defenses champ and go on to have bigger and better matches and hopefully against Sasha Banks at SummerSlam for part two. Rob, what do you think?
Love it, Kimmy. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet on this one. We knew, like you said, it was going to be Bayley taking on Bianca Belair. I've been a fan of Bianca forever since NXT. We got to meet her, name drop. Very, very sweet person. Like I've been saying on the show, they've been keeping her at 30% until they got to WrestleMania, and then she was 90%. Like, her moveset is insane. You know, she's the strongest, fastest, like all the ESTs. Although at WrestleMania, it did say EST of NXT on the Titantron. Nunes caught that. But I digress. I think Bianca here is going to just show up and show out. It's going to be the Bianca Belair show. I'm here for it. Bianca retains.
Jimmy, your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. They spent a long time building Bianca. They had her win the Women's Royal Rumble in a fantastic performance. But let us not forget that Bayley is absolute magic. She has brought the best out of every single competitor she's in the ring with since her time in NXT. Hell, even gave All Red Everything her best match in company history. Let us not forget, Bayley is magic. But I think it is way too soon to take the title off of easily one of the biggest stars in the company until Becky comes back. Bianca Belair has to retain. This is the way that it's got to be. And to echo what you guys were saying, SummerSlam is looking like Sasha Bianca 2, possibly even a triple threat with Bayley thrown in there because, as I said before, hashtag Bayley is magic.
I'm kind of upset you mentioned All Red Everything.
Yeah.
Kind of. Jimmy, you know, I wanted to throw my TV out the window when they showed that vignette 2 weeks ago.
Hey, we only have 16 more weeks and they'll match Amelina. So I'm waiting.
That is true. But also speaking of SummerSlam, bring it to MSG, guys. I heard the rumors. Me and Skylar want to go.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's do it. We can all go together. We'll all drive.
Best for business. Best for business. Yes.
Exactly. Skylar, you're a big fan of women's wrestling itself, so what are your thoughts of this excellent matchup?
Well, Bianca's going to go over 100%. I agree with all of you. Bayley's going to show, like, do her, like you said, her magic. She's going to push Bianca to her limit and show how much Bianca can do in the ring, how much she's been doing. Like, she's just amazing. I think it's definitely going to be the better match of the night. I honestly, because Bianca's athleticism, Bayley's like heel work and her talk, and then like her movesets, they work really well together. And it's just, it's gonna be magic, as Jimmy says. It's, love it.
They really encapsulated that magic of WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's gonna be one of those things that we're gonna be talking about, I think, for the next few years, yeah, about how they like totally pooped the bed when it came to not including Bayley in a bigger, stronger sort of way. And obviously we know that, you know, life gets in the way and Becky was apparently supposed to come out and there was supposed to be a whole thing that led up to that, but at the last minute didn't happen. Yeah. From what I understand anyway, through the grapevine or whatever, apparently Becky Lynch was supposed to be the one who came out and not the Bella thing that happened that got the worst reaction of WrestleMania. I mean, we can talk for hours on Brian getting booed, Hogan getting booed, but then the belt is coming out. You may as well put them in some robes and just had them out there just like, hi guys, we suck. We're out of touch. Because that's really what it is they show that they're completely out of touch and they knock down Bayley, who is supposed to be a heel, but she's a great heel. So we're going to be talking about it for a long time. That's it. There's too much to go into about it.
And one other thing that I think we'll be talking about for a long time is obviously Damian Priest's debut at WrestleMania.
Hell of a segue. Hell of a segue.
Thank you. I really tried with that one.
It's tough. It's tough sometimes.
Obviously Damian Priest with a hell of a debut. I thought they were going to go in an entirely different direction what he was going to do after WrestleMania, but we're back to The Miz in a lumberjack match, which is a match we could have seen on Monday Night Raw. Jimmy, your thoughts?
Okay. I don't get Damian Priest particularly. He has a lot of weird flashy lights and he does the arrow. I don't know what an Archer of Infamy is. Particularly, he seems to like fire and wants to live forever and likes jacuzzis and women. Listen, man after my own heart, obviously. He looks like Chris Angel. He reminds me of Chris Angel, Mind Freak, that guy. Remember him? I don't get it. Wow. I love The Miz. I've loved The Miz for a really, really long time. But unfortunately, this is where The Miz is in his career. He's going to eat the pinfall. He's going to lose. And Damian Priest is going to be on the way up because as another rumor mill was started that if the Bad Bunny thing didn't pan out, it would have been over for Damian Priest. Luckily, Bad Bunny is an excellent performer and knocked it out of the park. Canadian Destroyers, please. It's got to be Priest. It's got to be Priest here.
Now, is this the beginning of Morrison and Miz breaking up?
Probably not. I don't think that they're going to split those guys up anytime soon because they're goofy. They're not really, you can't really take either of them seriously. And if I have to stop calling John Morrison, Johnny Drip Drip, I may just stop watching wrestling altogether. Because Johnny Drip Drip is my mans. I love him.
Whoa. There's only one wrestler that you should be calling the drip for, and that's Seth Rollins, who isn't even on the card.
Oh, hold on, honey. No, hold on. No. You're going to talk smack about Johnny Drip Drip right now? Multi-time five-star wrestling world champion, over 900 days as champion. You know why nobody talks about it? Because that promotion is dead, but I still love it. I still love it. It's Johnny Wrestling.
Okay, but who started the drip in WWE first?
Let's go back to 2000 when they first came out, Melina, Eminem, the red carpet, the drip.
I wasn't born started. In 2000. Oh my I God. Wasn't born in 2000.
Is it warm? Is it suddenly warm in the podcast? Is it suddenly warm?
I feel like I'm aging quicker.
Rob, let's throw it to you.
This is a tough one. You bring up some good points, Jimmy, as always, man. Miz is my dude. Shameless promo. I got to be on the Miz and Mrs. show because, met him at a outside a venue or whatever. He held up the title you see right here. The Bob Man WWE title. It's got the Miz autograph on the back, and I got to be on TV. And I said, guys, in post, don't take out the Bob Culture shirt. And they left it in. Great job, USA Network. Shout. Give me a call. Miz is my man. I like what he's doing. Damian Priest, like, I want to like, and on the indies, I liked a lot. But it's like, even in NXT, I wasn't, you know, usually in NXT, like, they get it right and knock it out of the park with a lot of these guys. But I like wanted to like him and I never did. It's kind of like what Jimmy said. Like he's got the bow and arrow and he's got like that dark, ominous presence, but and he's got a great voice too. But it's like, I can't connect. Like I'm not engaged by him and I'm not like drawn in and I don't know what it is. And they didn't drop the ball with him on the main roster or anything, like, which happens sometimes to be honest, but I don't get it. And I'm for that reason, like maybe they're going to do like the money is in the chase kind of a thing. And I'm going to go with the maybe some interference or obviously this being a lumberjack match. I'm going to go with The Miz.
Ooh, spicy.
He's being different. I see you over there.
Skylar, you guys have a lot of great points. I agree with the Damian Priest subject. I watched his Chronicle today because I was like, I have to watch it. I've been watching everything. And it was nice to learn a little bit of background on him and how much he loves this like company, like the business and everything. It just, I agree. I can never find a connection. And usually I do with like these like different like angsty characters because that's my favorite. And like, it just, it's so hard. Maybe his moveset, I don't know. It may be his charisma that's kind of low for me. But yeah, that's how I feel also. And for this match, I mean, I like the stipulation because it does make sense. I do like that it's a lumberjack because The Miz does run. They've been putting that like throughout the weeks. Yeah, the weeks. And
the years, the decades.
Yeah.
The millennials.
So I this one's very hard because I'm like, I can see either one winning. I honestly think The Miz is going to win because he's been getting pinned. And I know it's supposed to get him over and everything, but he's lost twice already. And with WWE logic, he might pick up this one with the lumberjack match, actually going to his advantage.
Oh, of course, WWE logic, because it's the best logic in all of the universe.
Yeah, think that logic, man.
No, you can't. Here's my thing. I was a huge Punishment Martinez fan, if y'all don't know. Rob, that's who Damian Priest was before. No.
Wow, oh, the shots fired. Wow, really?
What was he, former Ring of Honor TV champion, I think, at one point?
Yes, he was, and that's where I met him when he was TV champ.
Monster Factory guy, too, I think.
Yes, Monster Factory guy from Paulsboro, New Jersey. Check him out.
Name drops all around here. But I have to go with Priest. I think that there are big fans of him, especially from Mania, and I think they can realize, you know, Priest also isn't young. He's old. He's in his late 30s, so there isn't really... Why?
Old?
Me and you talked about this specifically.
Old, late 30s, yes. Just my heart.
It's my knees is what it is. The knees and the back. It's the knees and the back. But I digress.
Yes, digress over there. So, you know, there's not a lot of room for him to really do anything in WWE because, you know, he is getting older. Usually people retire within the 40s and then come back for no reasons whatsoever. So I'm going to go with Priest to hopefully go after the U.S. title after Carrillo and Sheamus are done. Well, and then hashtag, where is Keith Lee? Has anyone seen him?
Hopefully he's healthy and doing well.
Yeah.
Put him on the back of a milk carton. But I do digress, as our host would say. Because now we got to move on to the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, which I believe, coming from this, it might something that might happen on Friday... The Usos might be forming their heel tag team again? Possibly.
I think so.
So I'm going to go. So obviously it's the Dirty Dogs versus Rey and Dominic Mysterio. They've actually built up the father-son tag team. If they do win, obviously they'll be the first ever father-son tag team champs ever. But this isn't their time. I'm going to give it to the Dirty Dogs, and then whatever the next pay-per-view will be, either Money in the Bank or Extreme Rules, because WWE just likes to change the schedule. That is when the Usos will win, and then, you know, heel Roman, heel Usos, put Tamina in there as well. Heel faction. Skylar, I see you getting excited. Your thoughts?
Well, from I heard from stuff around the internet, I heard they're going to put the titles on the face tag team so that the heel Usos can go against them and pick it up at the next pay-per-view. Because you can't have Bobby and Ziggler turn face in 3 weeks. You could, but it wouldn't make
heels
sense.
Heels versus heels? WWE doesn't care about that anymore.
It wouldn't be a good match. that's not my thing. So I think Ray and Dominic are going to win just so WWE can be like, this is the first father-son tag team champions.
They love their statistics, man.
Yeah, they like being like, yeah, they love
that. They're a moments company.
Yeah.
Moments. Jimmy, do you agree?
Well, okay, to steal the evergreen line of how can I miss you if you won't go away, the ultimate tag team for that is the Dirty Dogs, which don't know what that's all about. They're men in their 40s. Don't know what that's all about. But I think that, of course, WWE loves a statistic. Why they wouldn't give it to them on the SmackDown right before WrestleMania is weird to me. For some reason, I guess must have been some politicking, brother. And they wanted to hold the straps a little bit longer. But I think that Bobby Roode and Dolphy Ziggs, they got a vamoose for a little while, and they got to drop the belts and start super kicking some people in the unemployment line for a few months, because like I said, how can I miss you if you won't go away? So I think that the father and son tag team at that moment is going to be amazing. They're going to use it in tons of promo packages for you know, 20, 30 years to see a father and son embrace as World Tag Team Champions for the first time. So it's got to be Los Misterios, as it were.
Jimmy, I feel like I'm just learning a whole bunch of vocabulary from you that I'm just going to use forever.
People pay me to talk, man. I'm quite verbose.
Taking notes.
Oh, he's taking notes. Okay.
Got the notebook out.
I have mine. Don't you worry. Rob, I know when we and you did your WrestleMania panel, you were very high on Ray and Dominic and you wanted them to win the tag team championships. Do you feel like now it's finally their time to win those titles?
Well, it's almost copy and paste, and it's a little mini rant here. It's the same thing I've always been saying. And Kimmy, you know where I'm going with this, right? I would love to see that. And yes, they are a moments company, but more so, I'm about that moment. Mysterio is the guy that got me into this. I love seeing Dominic come out. I think Dominic's doing a great job in his own right. His matches with your guy, Seth, I thought were phenomenal. Just Ray accompanying him to the ring, man, it was special, man. I'm all about that. And like I said on the WrestleMania show, and you know I'm going to go there, but like the missed opportunity was having that moment in front of a live audience. Man, that is a WrestleMania moment, man. To have a dad and his kid win in front of the fans. And this is a missed opportunity. I mean, it is a great moment, no matter what. Like, yes, take the fans out of it, all that kind of stuff. Like, it really is a moment. It's between the two of them. Like, I get it. But to me, I think it would just be so amazing to have that. Say we are going to have SummerSlam at the MSG. I'm just saying that so that manifests. But say we do have a live crowd. I think we need to have, and you knew I was going to go here, but you need to have that moment in front of the fans because it would be emotional. And it still will be. It would be over, as we say. And more importantly, it's just like, I always bring it back to that Brock Lesnar feud with Ray and Brock, which I actually really liked. And that moment where they double 619 Brock and they both did the frog splash. I don't remember hearing a pop that loud in such a long time. And yes, I know we're in a pandemic, but I mean, before that, like the crowd was going bonkers for that. And could you imagine like them getting that steam? And yes, I know it's tag team titles, but how special that would be. And it still will be. I want it in front of the fans. And for selfish reasons, I'm going to say Rudolph, the red-nosed tag team, take this one.
Rudolph, so now they're just going to come out with, like, red noses.
Rudolph, no.
No, I get it, but, you know, now I'm going to play on your words here. So Rudolph, you know, like red-nosed reindeer. Red noses.
Their new entrance has to be, like, the like Becky Lynch steam machines, yeah. And then you just see one red dot as they pilot their way to the ring. And if we don't get that, then they got to go. They got to go. They're leaving money on the table, ladies and gentlemen. Leaving money on the table. But one more time, I got to say, if you guys haven't seen it, there's a beautiful clip of Brucey P in the background where he goes, Big Pop! And the Thunderdome audience suddenly pops. They're going to want that for Ray and Dom. They have to. I think it's stupid if they don't do it this time.
I mean, that's my one thing, though. Like, I would figure they'd want us in front of a crowd and not Thunderdome audience, which is why I'm like, okay, maybe they'll wait till SummerSlam because it looks like that's when they're going to start touring anyway, which is why I don't want to go with them yet. But
should have done it at Mania. Should have been Mania. That's just me.
I mean, yeah.
They're looking for the future of the Roman Reigns clan. Like, they're doing that more. They're looking forward instead of just looking now at what could happen. And it's just
fair point.
Long-term booking. What a novel idea. Holy smokes. I got to take some notes here. Hold on one second.
This guy.
Look at you. Look at the debut, Skylar. Look at you.
I'm doing good.
So now we're going to move to one out of two triple threat matches. And see, I feel like my one theory for this triple threat just goes against what I want to say for the second triple threat. But this is just the pay-per-view of triple threats. So I want to hear everyone's theories first so I don't go crazy. So Jimmy, make me not feel crazy.
Well, okay, so of course we're going to have Daddy Drew McIntyre taking on, that's my lovely spot-on Scottish accent, don't at me. and then, you know, we got the gardener, Braun Strowman out there.
I knew that was coming.
Oh yeah, he looks like a gardener, guys. He wears the gloves on his waist. And then Big Bob, Bobby Lashley, that's like a ready-made, like stellar triple threat match. No way Big Bob's losing that. But I like a triple threat. It opens up booking possibilities. So you could give me an entire night of or three or four triple threats. If the match is good, if the booking is good, if the story is there, Listen, to quote Effie from Big Gay Brunch back at the Collective, we're here for good shit. We like good shit. That's what we're here for. And it's, I don't care what it is. Put the world title on Lana if the story makes sense and is a brilliant story and she can functionally kick somebody without missing them, then I'm here for it. As long as it's good, I'm here for that shit. So do what you got to do, Vinnie Mac, but make it good.
Rob?
I feel, and Jimmy got me a little bit more hyped for it than I was, man. I feel like kind of painted themselves into a corner a little bit here, because with Drew, and I did like the booking of Drew losing at Mania. I thought that was actually a really good booking. Like, it would have made Lashley look weak. And I had been going all year with the theory that Drew is going to win this at Mania or retain at Mania and get that reaction. He didn't. He was the first one out, but I digress. I think it was great that Lashley retained there. And I thought it was great booking, like I said earlier, but you knew, like always, they didn't know what to do with Braun, who I always think of as the gardener now, since Jimmy was on our last show. I can't unsee it, but they don't know what to do with Braun. It's been that way for a long time. They kind of slapped the Universal title on him. What was it, last year? You know, he won all the, like, the greatest Rumble and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that there's nothing really organic with Braun. I feel, you know, he's kind of wedged into things, and yeah, he deserves to be a number one contender all the time. That makes sense. But for Drew to win the title, what, three times in a year's time, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I like Drew. I didn't like the face turn for him, but he's really won me over. The way he really carried the company on his back, the way he beat COVID, and he talked about it to the camera. You know, I thought he's done a great job, and he is a deserving champion. But storyline-wise, I think keep it on Lashley. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I don't see a title change here. I say Bobby Lashley retains, and it makes Lashley look strong.
I will also say that Drew McIntyre is one of the only, I think the first superstar they had where they actually said, oh my God, a superstar is COVID. It's not a secret anymore.
Yeah.
So big deals. Skylar, are you also with Lashley retaining, or shocker here?
No, I'm with Lashley retaining, and I'm not excited for this match. I'm not a big fan of big men wrestling, three big men wrestling the thing. Not my thing. It's boring.
You're making Vince so mad by that comment.
No, he's so turned on by this match.
But Vince McMahon likes big sweaty men. It's, he really it's does. Been,
it annoys
it's been
me.
Well documented. They like to watch. He likes to watch him slap meat. That's what they do.
What they love. But so I'm not excited for this match. I know Bobby's gonna win, and then Braun's gonna take the pin. Drew's gonna go for it again, lose again, and then they're in a corner. It's like, it's just like watching paint dry on a wall for me, this whole storyline. Like, I watch Raw, like, I watch Raw for the first time on Monday. I read about it, it's just, I've been busy and everything, but I watch it, I almost turned it off. Like, it got to that point where it's just like, to like the storyline, I was just like, this is so boring. Like, I don't like Braun's boring to me, Bobby's boring. Drew is, I like Drew, I just feel like he just needs to, like, have a different storyline away from the title.
I see that. I agree with
question for the panel, real quick.
Answer.
Do we see possibly a Drew McIntyre heel turn and draft over to the blue brand at some point? Because personally for me, I love Drew. I think he's been great, especially through the pandemic. As Rob said, he put the company on his back, really carried it and everything. Unseated, Big Daddy Cool as the champion during the lowest point where they didn't make a lot of money because, you know, COVID this time, 1995 was different. Diesel just, but so my thing is that I'm sick of Drew as a babyface. I think he's done everything he can. I think it's time for him to get drafted over to SmackDown, be a heel again, maybe team up with the Dirty Dogs. I don't know. Change their gimmick up a little bit. Freshen things up a little bit. Have him start claymoring people's heads off their shoulders. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anybody first?
So I like that. I like the whole idea of the draft and the heel turn. But my one thing is, everyone's going to want to see Drew and Reigns again, right? And then we saw that Survivor Series. Now they're both heels. I don't see Roman turning anytime soon. But I also wouldn't want Drew to go after the main title right away. Maybe the IC title. So that's a possibility, since he hasn't held it since 2000, nine, mm-hmm. eight, if I could do math correctly, which is rare. But when would you plan that shuffle to be? Because they usually do one right after Mania.
Yeah.
Well, they've been doing them closer to Survivor Series lately, which is stupid because 6 weeks away from, you know, the one night of the year where everybody fights for brand supremacy. Most of the SmackDown team was on Raw 6 weeks before the Survivor Series match. So that doesn't matter. They should do it like 2-3 weeks, maybe right after Backlash. If they say, hey, in 2 weeks, we're doing a brand split. We're doing the draft again. Everybody's going to get shaken up. No one is safe. Walking Dead, yada, yada, yada. And then we don't see Drew for maybe a month after he gets drafted. All of a sudden, bagpipes hit. He takes, SmackDown is very heel heavy, but if you want to throw maybe Riddle over there as well. He's US champion still, right?
Sheamus.
Well, another heel. but you also want to get Sheamus and Drew apart from one another. They've already done their thing. They've had great matches and everything. So they got to be split apart anyway. Yeah. So I think that it's got to come soon. And I think we got to have a Drew heel turn and we got to start turning some more people face.
But will they turn Drew heel? Because right now he's technically the face of the company because he's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a Roman Reigns at the beginning of his career situation. Where it's like they didn't want to turn him until it was like we really like backlashed it.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think I have another 5 years in me to wait for him to turn heel.
I don't either.
I'm going to weigh in real quick. I think, I was kind of against Drew going face in the first place. I was like, no, I never liked like that 3-2-1, like come up with something different. But other than that, and that's just nitpicking. He's been great. Like I said earlier, he's proven me wrong. Just like when the Usos went heel, completely proven me wrong. I was totally against that. I didn't like it. They've killed it. They've crushed it. They're still crushing it. But I digress. I got to say, I would like to see Drew be a heel. I liked it. I think that's a great idea. I think it's fresh. I don't think he goes to SmackDown and I don't see how it could happen now. I think again, it would be fresh. I don't see how it would be organic, though, because, like, you have, again, like you said, a lot of heels. Like, with him and Lashley, you'd have to kind of really keep them apart. It'd be tough to do, but it makes a lot of sense for something fresh. And, like, a lot of people have said over these panels, like, Raw, and I try not to knock everybody because I'm thankful for any sort of entertainment, especially during this COVID era. I really am. But Raw's been tough. It's really been tough to watch, and that's been the consensus, man. But I like the fresh thinking.
Well, I do think that it's in someone's vision that he might be turning face soon. I think it's actually in his vision. That SummerSlam.
Do we know what the vision is yet? Has he explained to us what he's seeing in front of his eyes?
Just having a midlife crisis after he had a child.
Listen, whatever this man wants his vision to be, I'm here for it. And it's a face turn. But I'll weigh in on the triple threat match now, since, you know, we had that draft question. So this is my problem with this. No, I don't care. I was just saying. It was like, everybody question. Oh, what's Kimmy's opinion? So here's my problem with this, right? To me, okay, Strowman obviously gets the pin. And I would say the same thing for the Roman Championship match, right? But then I feel like that's how Rhea gets screwed out of the title, which is the next match we're going to talk about. And I don't see that happening here. But then I look at it like, who the hell is versing Lashley next? Because I look at the Raw roster. Who the hell is there? This is my issue. There's no one there, which is why Raw is so bad. Because you're running out of people. Because I would say possibly Orton, but now RK-Bro is a thing. And I love RK-Bro, which is a problem because I hate Riddle.
Same.
So now I'm like, okay, maybe someone from Canada is going to come over because, again, Lesnar and Lashley, that also makes kind of sense. But we've heard it from Kyle. They can't cross the border. So now I'm just confused of where Lashley's going from here. This is my issue.
Yeah.
I think with the Hurt Business, you give them a couple of weeks and they can turn things around and probably make Bobby an MVP face if they really needed to, because we all know RK-Bro is doomed to fail. As much as I love Randy, and I've met Riddle at a GCW event 2017, I think it was Art of War in Homedale, New Jersey. He's a great guy. He's very fun. I would love to smoke a joint with him. Sounds like a great guy. The stuff that they've been giving him on Raw, not great, because it sounds like an 11-year-old talking about, like, oh, this wacky tobacco. Oh, look at me. I just think that after Randy turns heel again on him, I think that's got to be Bobby's next opponent. But I don't know. I don't like it.
It's so hard because there are no faces, I feel like. And if there are faces, it's mostly the smaller people. And you know they ain't winning. It's going to be a squash match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's annoying.
Raw needs to get another Cole Bay Bay. Just saying.
God, no. God, no. Don't have him do that.
But why?
Because
they'll ruin it.
Because, and listen, I know that it started a feud with Pat McAfee, so forgive me, Adam Cole, Bay Bay, but you're small, okay? Vince McMahon is going to see the size of his arms and weep like a child. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen with Adam Cole. He's going to get, if and when he does come up, they're going to give him 3 weeks. And without the crowd to do the Bay Bay thing, Vince isn't going to get it. Vince never gets it. That's the problem. Like, it took, a year for Aleister Black to come back? And he, where are we? Sitting in a dark room, speaking nonsense. You know why? Because Vince doesn't get it. He's 11 years old, and he shouldn't be writing for people in their 30s. That's just what the problem is. And I don't know. There's a lot that needs to be done. And the last thing in the world they need is an average height, really good wrestler to show up, because he's just going to end up on Main Event with Ricochet and Ali, who are running their feud back over and over and over and over again. And they're two of the best wrestlers on the planet. Vince don't care. Vince likes dudes who are almost 7 feet tall, 300 plus pounds. He likes watching two refrigerators bang heads until he falls asleep and just like bliss. That's what gets him to sleep at night for those 3.5 hours that he sleeps, because apparently he's a Marine.
Well, luckily we're on. No, Skylar, go ahead.
I was saying, because I'm on the same page, because it's just so annoying, because there could be so much potential. Like, put the belt on a smaller person, see how much more your views will go up, because that's what NXT is. They're not the biggest people. Like, yeah, Karrion Kross, but he's still not like big like Braun or Bobby. Like, it's average people, and it's just the views are just so much better. The content is so much better. It's also more hard rock, and it's just
even though they got 8 in the ratings last night. Anyway, so we are on our last it's
the
true
shade. The shade, Kimmy.
I should have got blind.
My rebel heart is broken.
Right?
Oh.
He totally went the opposite way out of Regal's office last night. Anyway.
I gotta watch it.
Oh, you missed it. See, maybe if you watched it, their viewers would have went higher.
I'm waiting for the Goodest Brother. He's working overnight. I'm waiting for the Goodest Brother.
Their viewers would not have been 697K. Anyway, we're on our last Monday Night Raw match before we get to a beautiful main event. So let's hype up here, guys. We have for the World Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Asuka versus the person who's probably going to win the title for the 12th time, Charlotte Flair. Skylar, you seem very angry by my proposal here. What are your opinions?
Rhea's keeping it. They can't get rid of it. I'm sorry, Rhea's keeping that. She's keeping it. I don't want to hear Charlotte winning, because she does not need it. She's there to put on a good match with the girls. Asuka's eating that pin, unfortunately. Like, I feel so bad for her. But Rhea's winning, because she has to. I don't know if she's a heel or a face right now. Very confused. But she's a different look for the women's division, which I love. She looks like, me and my friend were talking about, she looks like a My Create character that I would, like, me and her would always create and everything. So it just feels like reality. Like, it became real. And she has to keep it up. She has to keep it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Jimmy is nodding his head along. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, Rhea Ripley came up like a bat out of hell. And I think that Asuka is definitely eating the pin. Asuka, again, is another standout of the PC, the gym era, the big fans era, because she would come out and they were like, you have 30 seconds, just scream something in Japanese and be fun. And she's fun. She's adorable. But she's reached the end of another one of her cycles where they give a shit about her. That, let's be real, because they go through cycles with Asuka. And it has to be Rhea. I think Rhea's going to win. There's going to be some sort of thing where Charlotte ends up outside of the ring, so she's like 14 yards away from the pinfall, and then Rhea's going to hit the riptide, game over, and she's going to get out of there. This is my brutality. That whole thing. We're hearing that song twice. That's all that matters.
Asuka's also another person that needs to be repackaged. Rob?
Although Jimmy hit it right on the head. We do need to hear that song twice, but unfortunately, we'll only be hearing it once, because I think the queen, Charlotte Flair, again, put another check in that box, is winning that title. Again, this is like you guys said, they're both going to be ready for Asuka, because Asuka is going to eat that pin. I do agree on that. Or no, she won't submit. She will not submit. She will take the pin. Charlotte's going to win the belt here. This is going to set up, obviously, Rhea and Charlotte part two, the revenge. And hopefully for SummerSlam, you know, future booking, this is where Rhea finally beats Charlotte way down the line. So I'm going to say Charlotte gets it here. Charlotte came back again, looks, you know, is better as a heel, but I actually really like her as a face. Like, again, she needs the fans, though. Like, she's great with the kids. Like, she's amazing. But she's a really, really great heel. So I'm going to say Charlotte takes it here. She came back. She looks fantastic shape, new attitude. Yes, there's some politics and all that, what we talk about, you know, with people leaving or quitting or whatever it is. But all that aside, I think Charlotte is still going to be very strong here. Doesn't make Rhea look weak, and Charlotte gets another title.
Poor Asuka. Poor Asuka. I'll start with that, because obviously her title run was just set up for failure. Thank you so much, Vince. We love you. Please give me a call for a job in 2 years. But
not after this podcast.
Hey, he just has to listen to, you know, what I'm going to say about the main event.
I know.
So they'll all be ready for Asuka, but Charlotte was always born to conquer, which is why Charlotte will be winning, because WWE politics, they just love Charlotte and want to keep giving her this title. Woo! And then eventually down the line, Alexa Bliss will be taking it from her, and Lily and her will be Raw Women's Champions.
I just can't. I can't envision that she's going to use, like, spooky telepathy to, like, make Charlotte's leg cramp up, and that's how Charlotte's going to lose her 12th title reign. There's so much that can be said about this. They essentially gave Alexa Bliss the Fiend character, because where's Bray? Where'd Bray go?
He's hot, he's cold. It might be been for the best if they gave it to Bliss. I don't know how to gauge it at this point. It's been so hot and cold.
I guess Miss Hand.
I love these characters. Just because I'm a big, like, I love the, like, satanic stuff. And to me, it makes sense. Like, her, like, doing all the telepathy and everything. Like, maybe it'll make it darker again if she does go for the title. Like, the black blood coming out of the mouth and everything. So, just want
to point that out. I think what they have to do first is they have to give her a match.
Oh, yeah.
That would help if we... I mean, listen, storyline is absolutely important and everything. And, yes, I want to know more about the Lily thing, and I want to know more about that. But, you know, let's get her in the ring.
Yeah.
Let's have her take a bump, for Christ's sake.
I mean, it's true.
Like, she had a concussion 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And, like, literally has maybe taken 6 bumps since then? Like, that's, you got to shit or get off the pot right now, Alexa. You got to either decide if you want to be a wrestler or you want to be a trophy. And that's what they're using her as. They're like, look at the pretty girl. Look at the pretty girl. We're not going to do anything with her, but look at the pretty girl. Give us your views. And it's just, because I like Alexa Bliss. Don't get me wrong. I love Alexa Bliss. I think she's great on the mic. She's fun in the ring, but let's get her back in the ring and not throwing fireballs at people, doing collar elbow tie-ups, headlock, maybe that Twisted Bliss nonsense. I'm all about it.
Land on your stomach and don't put your legs up to your chest.
Yeah.
You're so nice. Thanks.
Can we just get Bowling for Soup to come out at some point and play that song? I know it won't work with this gimmick, but let's make it happen.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
Speaking of the Fiend, obviously he ruined Rollins's beautiful Universal Championship reign, and obviously his vision is not competing this Sunday. Are there any matches that anyone on the panel thinks is going to happen Sunday that has not been announced yet?
Probably, but I don't know what it is.
maybe Jimmy versus Seth or Jay versus Seth.
Ooh. Does Seth win though?
A U.S. maybe, title?
Yeah, I think he would. I heard
Carrillo got injured though. So I don't think that they're. I don't think they have anything else at the moment for.
It looked like he did.
It looked really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he couldn't move his leg.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
He just learned how to grow facial hair. That started to make him interesting. and now he can't move his leg. I mean, it's just a uphill battle for Carrillo. I mean. Maybe we get the Usos back together as a tag team for like a pre-show match just to like work the rust off or whatever. But I've loved Main Event Jay. I've really been into Jay Uso as a singles competitor. And Jimmy Uso, if you know, he decides to use an Uber more often, maybe he'll be on TV more often. I don't know what the deal is. But I mean, listen, he had knee surgery. I'm just busting balls. But I think since Seth isn't on the card right now, you can probably put him in there with, I mean, are they, is Commander Aziz and what's his puss doing anything on the pay-per-view?
No.
He just won the Intercontinental Championship. He changed his accent, for Christ's sake.
It's fine. He's still boring.
Whoa.
Boring.
This is the most interested I've been in Apollo Crews since he was spelling his name to the ring every week. Okay. That's yeah, 2016 incredible. SmackDown. Fantastic stuff. But yeah, to have all these guys, I get the Sheamus thing because Carrillo's injured. You can't turn on a dime like that unless you can. I'm not sure. But you got to go with the guys that you're trying to make now, because in 2 or 3 years, you're not going to be able to call Mark Calloway. You're not going to be able to call Brock Lesnar. You're not going to be able to call Bill Goldberg. You're not going to be able to call any of these guys because they're not going to be able to do it anymore. And who are you going to have? You're going to have Apollo Crews. You're going to have Big E. You're going to have Seth Rollins. You're going to have everybody out there that's trying to make some headway. Hell, you're going to have Ricochet for the next 10 or 15 years, and he's on Main Event. So let's do some cross-brand promotion here. Let's get Ricochet versus Seth Rollins, middle of the card, 15 minutes. Let them blow the roof off of the Thunderdome, and let's do it, people. Let's just do it.
Jimmy's president.
More creative. I'll be
taking that job at any point, Brucey P. I'm over here. I'm here.
Hardest working man in the room.
But let's go to that main event, which I believe is in someone's vision that he might interfere, depending on how things are going over there. Roman Reigns versus Cesaro, finally getting his one-on-one shot for the Universal Championship. I think this is going to be a good match, but I don't think it's Cesaro's time. But I'm excited that he finally gets his one-on-one opportunity. But like I said, I feel like, I don't know, I'm just trying not to be biased here, but I just think it's in his vision that he's going to interfere. And this is the planting of the seeds to a face turn. And that Friday Night Messiah is going to be a face versus Roman Reigns SummerSlam at MSG. Winning that title, and I'm going to be there live.
Wow.
Now, after all three of you are going to burst my bubbles and tell me that's not going to happen at all, Skylar, what do you think?
It might
happen. At least one thing's going to happen. He's going to turn face.
I mean, he's going to turn face. I definitely see that, even though I'm mad about that, because I love him as a heel. He might interfere. Who knows? I'm so glad Cesaro is getting this match. He is so good. He deserves this. He's going to put on a great show. Roman's going to help him put on a great show. And then Roman's going to win and gloat as much as he can.
Good stuff, Rob.
This is interesting. You got me thinking, Kimmy. Now, again, no way, and I'm a big Cesaro guy. I think we all are here. The guy can wrestle. Give me that no-handed airplane spin on Reigns. That would be incredible. I've been waiting years for see him do that. He did it at the past couple of WrestleManias, which was amazing, but I digress. I got to go with, obviously, we say Reigns is going to retain here, but you're planting those seeds with Seth, and I do kind of see that being the SummerSlam match for several reasons. I'm not saying he's going to go full face. I could see him being a great tweener. a great tweener. And this could work because if we make him a face, it might not be that organic, although the seeds are there. Some great points. They are interacting finally on SmackDown. That's one thing. They've had those backstage segments. It's like they're saying, get him to the Greek. It's that hateful respect, that hateful respect. I think them changing his music back to the Burn It Down, just little things like that, gets him away from the Monday night. Obviously, it's on Friday now.
Messiah thing. They changed his theme again, though.
Oh, did they again?
Yeah.
So they went back and forth.
No, I mean, it was a whole new theme. It's all his themes combined.
But was it a variation of Burn It Down? I don't remember.
No, Burn It Down is not.
They say Burn It Down at the beginning, right? Okay. But then it goes into something else, and it's
okay. So let's use the themes, right? I'm a music guy. I'm a drummer, right? It's an amalgamation of all the Rollins we've known, right? That could be a great tweener. I think in any case or any form of fashion, we are going to see Seth involved in this match, stick his head in, talk to Roman maybe just before the match and not be involved in the match. But they're going to keep them having a conversation. And I think that's the way to do it. Don't force it. Don't force a face turn. That'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a really great match. Cesaro's going to get a show off a little bit. But at the end of the day, he just doesn't have enough to take on arguably one of the hottest guys in wrestling right now, Roman Reigns.
Now, Jimmy, I feel like you're just going to burst my beautiful bubble into a million pieces.
Well, beware of splashback, ladies and gentlemen, because the bubbles are about to be burst. What we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is the battle of the Heyman guys. We got Jason Momoa. We got the Transporter. Okay? Jason Statham on the other side of the ring, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, a clash of the titans, never before in the history of professional wrestling. No, Cesaro's not going to win. Let's be real. Jason Statham is going to get transported right back to the midcard because they don't believe in Cesaro. They don't see, for some reason, they don't see in him what we all see in him. Granted, can't really cut a promo, but he's literally the best wrestler in the world, in my opinion. I think he's got the cardio to run up Everest and then like hit a European uppercut and run back down to get some espresso at the bottom of the hill. That man can do it all. He is the Swiss Superman. He is the Swiss Cyborg, but he's not the head of the table. That's just how it is. Roman Reigns is like, as you said, Rob, he's the biggest guy in wrestling right now. He isn't a good guy. He's probably a bad guy now. He is the guy. And right now, that's who he is. That's what we got. And Kimmy, I'm glad you're sitting for this. Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, one-on-one at SummerSlam, it's not going to happen. They're going to make it a triple threat. They're going to put somebody in there who's a dedicated face. Now, let's remember way back to 2010. You know, Kimmy, you remember it. You were in fourth grade.
Yeah.
So remember when NXT was a game show?
Yeah.
And remember when Daniel Bryan got fired and he said, well, Daniel Bryan might be gone, but there's this guy that I know named Bryan Danielson. Daniel Bryan might be off of SmackDown forever. Bryan Danielson isn't.
Whoa.
So I'm thinking that unintentional, super long-term booking here. I think that we're going to see the American Dragon, shaved head, shaved beard, full-on Ring of Honor, the matches against Nigel and stuff. Like those guys, that guy, Bryan Danielson, we're going to see Bryan Danielson, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at SummerSlam in Madison Square Garden, and Daniel Bryan will eat the pin and retire from in-ring competition.
I think.
Book it.
I've never heard that theory before, and I love that.
Wow. Bryan Danielson isn't banned, and Daniel Bryan is a proud, proud man. We know that. Mm-hmm. And if he goes away for a couple weeks, he sits a pay-per-view or two out, all of a sudden he comes out to...
Ba-da-da-da. Yes, I was going to say final countdown. Yes, please.
Ba-da-da-da. Anyway, that's what we're going to get.
Well, yeah. My thing was I thought Final Countdown was going to play at the end of Double or Nothing. But now you hit me with this theory. And if we want to go statistical here, he came back at SummerSlam on August 15th, 2010, which is my birthday this year. My birthday is August 15th.
I was like, dang, you're good.
Yeah. stats guy, right? And August 15th is on a Sunday this year. So if you wanted to do it 11 years to the day, on the table. And what a beautiful birthday present. Cummy, by the way. Woo!
Wow.
The big 2-0, guys. A whole two decades I've been on this earth.
Wow. Ew.
Feeling old. Just feeling old, old, old.
I've also known Herb since she was in middle school. So that makes me just...
I'm sorry.
I don't like it.
Anyway, so Rob, I think this is where you do our closing endings and everyone gets their shameless plugs. So let's start with you.
Taught you so well. Taught you so well, Kimmy. I'm so proud. Great job, Kimmy. Guys, you know the deal. You're watching the BCB right now, available streaming on MobFi TV. You can get it on Amazon TV, Roku, on your Android devices, iTunes, or not even iTunes. It's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. YouTube, Spotify, you guys know the deal. Check us out. Thank you guys, everyone, for joining us. Let's get that shameless promo. Let's throw it to Jimmy, man, my mentor, the man, the myth, the legend over here.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate you. And ladies and gentlemen, you can catch the very first, the debut of Pro Wrestling Magic on IWTV May 29th. That's right. We're bringing all of our good stuff. If you follow me on the Instagram or the Twitter, that's Mr. Riot, MRRI0T, because Counter-Strike was a thing when I was a kid. You'll see what we were wearing for our 90s theme party. If you didn't guess it, I was 1998 Tony Schiavone. Mark back in the building, back in the building. Mark Williams, ladies and gentlemen, back at the commentation station. And of course, Carl Vanderbeek will be there as well. But we have an incredible amount of matches on our on that first show. We got Darius Carter defending against Eric Corvus. Great match. We have Erica Lee defending her championship for the first time in the Pro Wrestling Magic Kingdom against Big Dan, Dan Champion, much, much, much more. And don't forget to go and follow us, Pro Wrestling Magic on Instagram, Wrestling Magic on Twitter, and go on the Facebooks and check us out over there. Also, youtube.com/Pro Wrestling Magic is where you get all the goodies that isn't over on a streaming service, because we know what we do and how we do. So let's do it.
Yes,
Ken. Love it. All right. And Sky and Kimmy, Sky, you have anything to promote or just Kimmy Talks Wrestling, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to make my way. I got to get everything set up. A seasonal depression.
Teaser.
Like,
okay.
I'm trying to like finally do what I want to do. Plus new job. So
congratulations. That's
good. Hey, let's go.
Yay. Great job.
Making names over there.
Heck of a debut. Really great job, Skylar. And Kimmy, plug away, but also tell us about some of these great signings you got coming up.
This Saturday, Maria Kanellis. And by the way, guys, if you are not watching Ring of Honor Woman Wednesdays on YouTube, what the hell are you doing? Like, come on. The talent there, they're crowning a new Ring of Honor Women's Champion at the end of the summer. Great independent talent. Roxy, who's also my age, is my favorite to win the entire thing. So make sure you go check out the first three episodes because they're on YouTube. But also where you can find the one and only myself. YouTube at Kimmy Talks Wrestling, Twitter Kimmy_WWE, Instagram Kimmy Talks Wrestling, and you can also see me on Pop Culture Wrestling. I'll be writing reviews for the rest of Dark Side of the Ring. You can read my review of Brian Pillman, and tomorrow we have Nick Gage. Kind of scared. The preview, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, but yeah, that's it for me. Thanks, Rob, for letting me host. I hope I did a good job.
Future of the business right here. A lot of the future of the business on this panel, as far as I'm concerned. Guys, thanks for viewing us your time. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.